Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It's May 12th. I am your host, Vic Singh, Slick Pablo Vic, and this is Political Conscious of Slick Pablo Vic. I appreciate you guys coming in, joining us, listening to what we have to say today. We have a great show lined up for you today. We always have a great guest panelist, as always, James King and Josh McCorder, who I will introduce a little bit later. But first, let me get to what everyone's thinking about, and that is the state of our country after our FBI director was just recently fired by the president. And normally, this isn't, you know, the thing that we are talking about on a regular basis or something that's even on the mind of a normal American. But strange times, strange circumstances, and the true and unbiased opinion is that the president of the United States fired the guy who's leading an investigation against him. Okay. Now, I wish I had the same luxury in my life. You know, as a former student now, I wish I could just fire my professor or fire the president of my school because I felt like they weren't doing the right job. But, you know, us normal Americans, we don't have that type of luxury. We don't have that type of leeway. And only a man with great strength, political power, and reckless attitude can make such a decision. So why is it a big deal? Why is it a big deal that our president fired our FBI director? Why is it a big deal that James Comey, who we all know for his announcement before the election, possibly rigging the election for Mr. Trump, and Mr. Trump saying, oh, you know, I love the FBI, I love James Comey, he's doing a great job, you know, this is all awesome. And then all of a sudden, now that the direction of the investigation is pointed towards the president, all of a sudden, oh, the FBI director is a grandstander, a showboater, a cocky guy who needs to be outed. So very interesting, to say the least, because if anyone is involved in government, they know that your number one allegiance is not to the guy sitting behind the desk. It's not to the Supreme Court or the legislators or any other branch of the government. The FBI director and the intelligence community strictly adheres to the Constitution of the United States, the document that people are flouting left and right saying, oh, this is what we need to stick to, even though conservatives now are probably the ones who are most against the Constitution with some of the things that they're trying to pass forward. So there's a lot of people out there who have opinions on what's going on. There's a lot of people who want a special prosecutor, independent counsel to investigate just what's happening between our president and the people over there in Russia. And that's all well and dandy, but come on. We're all normal Americans. We're all regular citizens who, honestly, didn't even really delve into the political process much until recently, until it started impacting us, until we saw that the country's going in a direction we don't want. And all of a sudden, we give a shit. So that is one positive to take out of everything. Regardless of all the regulations, regardless of all the, I should say deregulations, regardless of all the deregulations, regardless of all the appointments of major positions with people we don't agree with, regardless of all of that, the one positive to glean from all of this is that people are more participatory, people care, there's more empathy in our society, and hopefully that manifests itself into 2018, where we can see the start of a change in our representatives and in hopefully getting more people out there. And I don't care about a Republican, Democrat. I don't care if you're a third party. I just need a motherfucker who's going to listen, use common sense, and do what's best, okay? Now, normally I don't use strong language on the show, even though I am a man who uses strong language on a regular basis. But after a while, things just start to wear on you. After a while, you're like, you know what? I'm just sick and tired of this. And I think that's what the White House wants to happen. They want to drain us out. They want to keep running us around in circles until we're gassed out, until we're done, until we don't care. But that's why it's important that we have these conversations. That's why it's important that we have these talks. Listen to these podcasts. Do your own research. Listen to your own news. And do your best to educate the people around you. That's all we ask for here on Political Conscious, and that's what we hope we bring to you. So after this long-winded intro, I do want to introduce our panel today, our very good friend, each and every week, the leader, the king of the sports crib, James King. How are you doing, Mr. James? How are you today?
I am doing great, man. Another kind of overcast day here in California, but a attitude as well, in the movies, my attitude is well adjusted. I'm ready to go.
And it's hard to believe overcast in California. It seems like a paradox, but I'm happy to have you here with us, James. You're always so loyal, and you've always given us a great platform to speak from, so thank you for that. And later on tonight, we will be joined by Josh McWhorter, who's a good friend of ours, a regular panelist. Our very good friend, Sean Hartness. Go ahead.
Who's here, Sean, or is that Josh?
That would be Josh.
Yes. Yeah, so while I was giving that great introduction, let me go ahead and bring him in, a good friend of ours. And Josh, just speaking of which, I just got back from Sarah's, my girlfriend's college graduation at College of Charleston, our alma mater. Josh, how you doing, man? Friday night, May 12th. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Like, I'm with good people. I've got my family. This is a good Friday. I'm pretty excited. Last 2 weeks, my wife and son were in Maryland visiting her parents. So it's a nice to get back to normal, so to say.
You know, a man will never feel as whole as he does when he's with his family. So I'm happy you're back with Erica in Memphis, and I'm happy everyone's doing well, and I'm happy to be here with you guys on this beautiful night. And let's get into it. Let me start with you, Josh. I know you have a lot of things you want to talk about today, and after you're done answering my question, I would like to hear what you want to get into. But a lot of stuff going on, Josh. The FBI director was fired by the president. We don't have a replacement yet. We do have a deputy director. There's a lot of language going around talking about how the credibility and the reputation of Director Comey had suffered a lot within the FBI. But now when we see the deputy director come forward, he says that James Comey is very well respected and admired throughout the building, and the FBI has total confidence in him. So my question to you, Josh, is it a lack of confidence for the reason of James Comey's firing, or is it something further?
Absolutely nothing to do with confidence in James Comey. In fact, there's also a story today that many members of the FBI had changed their social media profile to a picture of James Comey, which is actually a practice undertaken when a field agent loses their life. And I think it's 14,000 or something like that social media profiles had been changed. That might not be totally accurate, but I remember it being a very significant amount. And as some of y'all might know, some of the listeners may or may not know, I work in cybersecurity, and by nature of my job, I've come across information that is typically not known to the public at large. Some things I can speak on, some I can't. There have been things about this whole ordeal where, you know, in the cybersecurity industry, we understand that we wouldn't be able to pinpoint a lot of things based on the current information. However, part of this also means that in my position, I also follow people in national security. And there have been many, 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 many reports coming down the wire by independent journalists talking about what exactly has gone on here. There have been reports that Comey went to Trump for more money in regards to the investigation, which was upsetting. I'm not quite sure on the accuracy of that one, but one of the big things is that multiple indictments were handed down in the Eastern District of Virginia in regards to investigations in Annapolis, Maryland, a GOP fundraising group was raided. This is in relation, and this company is actually directly related to Robert Mercer, a huge campaign contributor to Trump. So I think one of the big things was that Trump tried to, I think he tried to get ahead of this one. And I'm not trying not to place conspiracy theorists, but these sources that I've been paying more and more attention to, they're very credible. They have called things days in advance, and they're actually being picked up now by Keith Olbermann, Rachel Maddow, and other, you know, credited what they some people like to say the mainstream media. I hate saying that phrase, but you know, the mainstream media is now picking up on these folks' reports. I am borderline giddy with the information I have been taking in. So I do not think this had anything to do with Comey's competence. I think it had everything to do with Trump being himself and misreading the situation and thinking he was just going to bully foot his way through it. But he really kicked the hornet's nest on this one. I think it's going down now, gentlemen.
We can only hope so. And, you know, one of the more bewildering things about the story and why everyone's talking about it so much is the way the White House handled it, okay? There were so many different reasons given as to why Director Comey was relieved of his duties, and there was not a very good chain of command in their messaging, okay? So we had the deputy press secretary come up and tell us one thing. We had Sean Spicer come up and tell us a different thing, and then we had Donald Trump do a exclusive interview where he said something completely different from the other two. So, James, my question to you is, the double talking, the contradictory nature of this administration, you know, Donald Trump says one thing, they do a completely different thing. Sean Spicer says one thing, they do a completely different thing. In this instance with James Comey and the reason why he was fired, do you think it's finally going to catch up to the Trump administration where people are going to ask a question and say, why did you do things the way you did, and did you do it the right way? Do you think now is the time people are starting to ask that question, James?
Now is the time. I agree with that. But the question is, will they? Excuse me.
Yeah, that's something we've seen a lot of, James, and sorry to interrupt you, but we have seen that there is a lot of contradictions and a lot of hypocrisy in the things we're seeing, but people don't care. Okay, people don't care. I'm hoping, James, tell me if you think this is right, that with the FBI director, someone who is not supposed to be partisan, do you think people will start to care now?
No, because you still have you still have people that don't understand how dire this situation is. A lot of people, at least it seems to be, especially with this administration and when you count in the election, it seems to be that everyone kind of has that herd mentality, you know, and anyone that goes against, you know, the herd, you're either thrown out or left by the wayside to die, or, you know, something that has to happen. In this particular case, sure, there are, you know, there are a lot of political ramifications, but people don't understand when it comes to the trickle down on the street or to the common man. They don't really understand what this means. Just like a lot of people do not understand, well, you know, a lot of people, especially in the lower class, don't understand what Sessions has to do with this, and how, you know, these things overlap. I mean, you know, here's a man that supposedly, you know, completely divested himself of all duties concerning this investigation, you know, but yet and still he writes a recommendation to the president. You know, you also have, people that they know that this is fake news, or you know, I mean, when your president, his main concern is what tweets he gets out, rather than, you know, the state of the country, is kind of, I mean, it's frightening, but people are out of the loop, because they're diverted by so many other things. There's no jobs, you know, the climate change. Everybody has their own little thing that they want to fight for, but nobody has kind of hit that magic thing of, hey, well, let's get together, educate, and let, you know, everybody know what's happening here. Otherwise, it just falls on the ears of a few.
Yeah, there are a lot of distractions going around. You're absolutely right about that. There's a lot of issues that people care about that come before the integrity of the commander-in-chief, or come before the reputation or credibility of the FBI director. I mean, really, a lot of people like to say that President Trump was put into office because people were worried about the economy and jobs and national security. But we all know that's bullshit. Okay, the jobs report that has been increasing ever since the past 2 years, and now Donald Trump has taken credit for it. All these factories that are bringing jobs back that was already previously negotiated a year prior, Donald Trump is taking credit for now. I want everyone to do their own research, because when the White House says that they got something done, odds are at this point in time, it's because the administration previously are the ones who set the wheels in motion to get the stuff done. And now Donald Trump's coming in and taking credit. It's kind of like a group assignment. You guys have been in these shitty group assignments where everyone in the group is slack as hell. You put in all the work, and at the very end, everyone gets credit for it. Well, in this instance, President Obama is the guy who does all the work, and Donald Trump and his team are the ones who are riding the coattails saying, look at this job report. Look at unemployment. Look at these companies bringing jobs back. Well, that stuff was already set into motion and already decided it was going to happen. Okay, so everyone, do your own research. Check your own sources. Find out what's credible and then make your own decisions. But let me come to you, Josh. You know, you've given us a great perspective, and I like how you're talking about the political advisory firm that was raided here in Maryland by the FBI. And you're saying that this is really the onset to something great and something big about to happen. So my question to you is, listen, aside from Nixon and almost Bill Clinton, we haven't really had a president who has betrayed and essentially committed treason against his own people in this way, okay? When Richard Nixon did what he did, he was spying on the opposite political party with the use of his own political party within the United States. What Donald Trump is doing is spying on both political parties using a foreign agency in Russia. So, Josh, tell me, is this the biggest scandal in presidential history for America?
What was that last part, Vic? I cut out there. Sorry.
Sorry. My question to you, Josh, is this the largest political scandal in the history of America?
Oh, definitely, by far. It's there's no question about it. Like, to put it into perspective here, at what point has the country ever been betrayed by, you know, a political party? You know, the GOP right here right now is in danger of, you know, having sold us out by using this campaign firm. I'm sorry, Vic. Actually, I've got a little bit of an emergency coming up here. I'm gonna have to cut out for about 10-15 minutes, and I will be right back. I am so sorry, listeners. Something unexpected came up.
You're totally fine. Just let us know when you're back, Josh. And I'll take over from you here, because I do agree with you in that we haven't had a person in the commander-in-chief's position who chose a foreign entity over the United States of America, okay? This is a very rare thing. And people are probably questioning right now who are listening, how do you know he's in cahoots with Russia? How do you know without any proof? I mean, how blind are you? Truly, how blind are you? Because look at what happened. President Trump fires Director Comey, because he's investigating the links between Trump's campaign team and Russia. Meanwhile, Trump fires him, and the very next day, within 24 hours, Trump is in the Oval Office shaking hands with representatives from Russia, within 24 hours. James, my question to you, what is the next step? What should we do? How do we fight back?
There's long-term and there's short-term. Short-term, I've never seen really work effectively, but it's like discussion. You know, some people are more comfortable at least having the dialogue, making sure that we all write our representatives, call them. You know, I mean, I have an app on my phone where, you know, I can, you know, send an email to my representative. Dilute them, letters the different avenues that you have to actually let your voice be known. In the long term, if you want to call it that, I mean, in 2018, we have an election coming up. A lot of these people that are supporting, you know, like every one of those people that supported him in the House that's up for reelection, you make sure that, you know, when the next picture is taken, that their faces are blank. I really wanted to discuss with Josh, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, it was only 18 days, you know, and I mean, can you imagine the damage that someone could do in 18 days when they have, you know, a top level clearance and being an ex-soldier, I mean, you know, that type of clearance to me, you know, I mean, they investigate what time you go to the bathroom. I mean, you know, everything. I don't understand, you know, how you how this could even, you know, get by your so-called commander in chief, and taking, you know, tying that back into the Comey discussion. You know, when you look, you know, when someone passes the eye test, you look and there it is. I mean, you know, even those, Vic, I know you know that, you know, eyewitness testimony is probably one of the worst that there is as far as criminal cases are concerned. But, you know, when, like they say, if it, you know, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. And now you have the person that was, you know, looking under the feathers, you know, you're letting them go. You know, it smells rotten. It gives the appearance of rotten meat, if nothing else.
And you raise another good point there, James, in the fact that, yeah, it took 18 days for Michael Flynn to be fired. And that was after President Obama specifically told Donald Trump not to hire Michael Flynn. And Donald Trump has been on the record saying that he thought President Obama was joking with him or something of that sort. And then not to mention Sally Yates, the attorney general at the time, also suggested not to hire Michael Flynn because of his dealings with Russia, which was also ignored. And then finally, after 18 days after getting notification of this possible collusion between Flynn and Russia, then he is fired. And yet President Trump was so quick to pull the trigger on firing James Comey within less than 48 hours, really. So what we're seeing is it took 2 days to fire the FBI director, who is totally neutral, and it took 18 days to fire Michael Flynn, who everybody knew and told was compromised. So for all my audience out there, everyone listening in, just think about that for a second. The difference between 1 to 2 days and the difference between 18 days. That's that's life-changing, okay? Regardless, and Jan brought up another good point about the security clearance that Flynn had. I mean, just put that to the side and just think about all the dealings, all the communication, all the business interests that were spread in those 18 days. And it's hard not to ask those questions and not to be a little bit disturbed about the way the administration is going about conducting business. Now, you know, Russia is not our enemy. We in America don't hate Russia. If there's any Russians out there listening, we love you guys. We want the best for you. We want the best for everybody in the world. But when our own integrity, when our democracy, when our way of life could be put up for sale, put up for auction, when our businesses could be bought out, when our interests could be assigned to someone else, that's when we need to start to worry. And that's what we are seeing, okay? If you look at the statement, the official letter, James, I don't know if you saw this, the lawyers of Mr. Trump had the balls to publish some kind of letter, official letter, saying that within the past 10 years, there haven't been any dealings between President Trump and Russia, quote unquote, with a few exceptions. And I know all my friends on Twitter are having a field day with the phrase "with few exceptions." But those exceptions in this instance, those few exceptions in this instance, amounts to over $100 million that President Trump made in one way or another with dealings from Russia, okay? Whether it's the Miss Universe pageant he had in Russia, whether it's the piece of property he held in Florida, which he sold for more than double the price to a Russian diplomat, there is an abundantly clear link between the president and Russia. We see the business dealings. We see it in the official letter in the taxes. We see it in the Oval Office when he's shaking hands. And another thing about the Oval Office meeting with the Russians, President Trump made sure there was no American press or media at that meeting with the Russians. The only pictures we saw from that encounter came from the Russian media itself. The Russian media was allowed to come in, take pictures, and witness the exchange. The American media was not. And the only way American media got their hands on the picture of Donald Trump shaking hands with these Russian people was because the Russian media gave it to them. So my question is, my question for you, James, is what can we do, aside from talking to our representatives and all that, what can we actually do in terms of ensuring that, you know, for example, these Russian media gave American media those pictures of Donald Trump shaking hands with the Russian people in the White House. How can we, as Americans, preserve our image in the world? And you're a well-traveled man. You know how people around the world think about us. How can we preserve our image around the world but have these people in place as our leaders who give us a completely different message of isolationism and America first, when we as Americans want to be helpful and want to make the world a better place? How do we reconcile that, James?
Josh is back, just to let you
know.
I think when it comes to, once again, people are under the ostrich effect. Especially the little man. We have so many other things, you know, that have complicated our lives or lack that thereof. I mean, you know, right now, you know, more people are worried about their health care than they are worried about the integrity of the White House. A lot of people have forgotten, the promises that were made, and like you said, that we can any good accountant can twist numbers the way that they like, and that's what we find with Trump taking credit for a lot of these business dealings. Of course, he put people back to work on the Keystone Pipeline, but look at the consequences. I believe it's 200 miles from Standing Rock, they've already had a leak in the pipes. There are so many things, you know, that the little guy aren't on, but then the people that can make a change, it seems like now it's one of those free for all seasons. You know, Donald Trump's in, you know, I better get mine before he gets out. And we can speak about, you know, all the outrage and act like, there was nothing that we could do. But, when it comes time for the senators or your representatives to vote, it's written right there, you know, how they voted, what they voted for. I think we have to go back to like people are doing in the town hall meetings. You have to participate. You have to let these guys know that for lack of a better term, we're not going to take it anymore. So, it's kind of be a grassroots thing. Since there's no real middle class, it kind of falls in echelon to bring us in.
James, you're absolutely right there. And Josh, are you with us?
I am. Sorry about that, everybody. We had a bit of an epic blowout that had to be cleaned.
No worries, Josh. Let me ask you this question. There was talk that President Trump invited Director Comey to a private dinner where he asked for loyalty and fealty, and Director Comey said that he would be loyal to truth, but he would not specifically be loyal to the president in that instance, and then was subsequently fired. So, Josh, do you think it's appropriate for the president to be asking an independent investigator for loyalty?
Absolutely not. That's basically been part of the course for this presidency that we're witnessing is that, and that's also what the people who voted him in wanted. They wanted somebody that wasn't like any other president before. They figured it was for the better. I don't think it's really worked out that way. And what other FBI director has been fired via television screen while delivering a speech across the country? You know, like this. There's never really been anything like this. But at the same time, it's just I can't even begin to verbalize how ridiculous the whole thing seems to me. Especially if we're going to put in someone that we want to say is a businessman, why wouldn't we at least put in a businessman with some professionalism? You know, firing the head of the FBI and not even informing him, waiting to make the announcement while he's in the middle of a speech and then having him see it on TV screens while he's giving the speech. It was done in typical Trump fashion to humiliate, to emasculate, you know, to basically show, you know, him that I'm going to ruin you. And in the past, we've had presidents like that, but we've never had anybody who was so as belligerent, I think, would probably be the best way to describe this presidency.
Yeah, I think that belligerency is a good word. I also think go ahead, James.
Excuse me, but I wanted to ask Josh before we got any further about the impact of those 18 days that we had spoke about earlier. The 18 days that the general had access, to the highest security of our land, and you see Comey getting fired in less than 24 hours. Why would it take someone that had that much of access to the top level security of our country? Why would it take 18 days to get rid of them, even after you were already warned by the previous administration?
I'm sorry, James. I've been having phone trouble tonight. I caught up to the very to the question came. Can you repeat that for me?
How much destruction could Maxwell do in those 18 days as an advisor?
Oh, there's a lot. A lot can be done. And to kind of go along the lines of, you know, that type of access they have, and referencing back to the Comey firing, there have been some rumors that one of the big reasons that this was done was not just to emasculate Comey, but to access his computer and the data on the computer to coincide with the visit of the Russian ambassador. I mean, just think of the destruction that alone can cause, and then look at the access to what, you know, General Flynn had, as well as, you know, some of these other folks. I mean, it's highly, highly, highly sensitive information, and we're compromised in a way that we're going to feel the effects of for decades. It's pretty bad.
And that's a real good question you asked there, James. And it's true that in this moment and in the world we live in, information can be more valuable than currency, even. And if Donald Trump is doing one thing I've noticed, he has all these foreign heads of state brought to the Oval Office. I mean, we've seen him awkwardly shake hands with Justin Trudeau, Theresa May, Angela Merkel, President Xi. There's so many different people who have come to the White House in a short amount of time. And I'm thinking to myself, why is that? Why is he bringing all these people here? Why do they have to come to Mar-a-Lago to see him? And I realize now that every time Donald Trump shakes hands with a leader of another country or an important figure from another foreign entity, he is lining his pockets. And that's just the honest truth about it, okay? We forgot. This man has not divested himself of any of his corporate assets. This dude still makes a penny when people go to Mar-a-Lago or go to Trump hotels all over the world. And now he is being so friendly to all these other countries, to the leaders of these countries, and when he doesn't have a problem talking shit about the people who live in the country, but when the leaders come, he's very cheerful, very happy, always trying to get along. And it makes me think that he is just doing it for the bottom dollar to up his brand, to ultimately have more dealings and more of a network. Typical businessman move, and we're all professionals here. We know how it is to shake hands and pass a business card around and do those things. But James, I'm going to come to you with this. Do you have any worries about Donald Trump meeting with all these people and thinking that he has some kind of interior motive to just make more money at the end of the day?
Not really, because that's who Donald has always been at the end of the day, you know, to make money for himself, to make money for the family. Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump blew these whistles way back in the 80s. I mean, you know, when he predicted more or less that he was going to run for president as a Republican. So he hasn't changed. He's still doing the comb over, you know, so and he's still doing the same thing with his politics. You know, you comb it over to whatever side suits you at that particular moment.
Josh, any feelings about Trump's business aspirations and meeting with all these foreign leaders?
I mean, I agree 100% with James where this is who he is. We weren't exactly getting something we didn't know. You know, the rumor is that Jared Kushner is one of his prized advisors, and he's out there still wheeling and dealing. You look at after the meeting with China. Was it Ivanka's brands or something, 18 brands that Donald Trump had been trying to get trademarks for in China, he was suddenly able to get? Donald Trump, not just Donald Trump, but his father as well. The Trump family legacy has been all about finding loopholes, stretching them out as far as they can, and stepping through. He has done everything he can to weasel his way out of things. In fact, you know, when he recently spoke on, you know, I'm thinking about just having things presented in writing because, you know, the people who represent me can't be speak on things accurately 100% of the time, so maybe we just have to write it. And that wasn't a shot at people speaking. It was more so, you know, oh, everyone's taking everything so literal and holding us to it. And it's like, well, yeah, that's what you do when people speak. But in writing, there's always the ability to deny. I didn't write that. I had someone else prepare that. That's what he's trying to set himself up for. He's always trying to find a way to weasel out. And I really, really hope that there's some decency and justice in this world, because this can't keep going on. I mean, he's clearly in it for himself and his business. That's why his family's in there. He's operating the country the same way he operates his companies, which is like a family business, but gone horribly wrong. He purposely installs people in positions of power that directly conflict with those below them. They create issues of distrust. There becomes tons of infighting, where the only thing then that matters is, who does Trump favor? It's something that his father taught him. I mean, look at Kushner and Bannon fighting. You know, there's Priebus, and now I think they're talking to the young lady who spoke in place for Sean Spicer while he was doing reserve duty over the weekend. He's running it like his business because he wants to make money for his business, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right, Josh. Go ahead, James.
I want to ask both of you this. When you look at the short list of whom they have kind of presented while not presenting it as candidates to be the next director of the FBI. Giuliani, the fat boy from New Jersey, Christie, there's a third one. Let's see, Giuliani. Oh, Sheriff Uncle Tom. I know it's those three, but I mean, you know, just think of, I mean, you guys might not be old enough to remember stop and frisk under Giuliani. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of legal cases that you can look up. And, I think if you study it, one of the reasons that it was stopped before was because of the possibility of it having to go to the Supreme Court. What do you think it's going to be like under the new FBI director, when you already more or less have Jeff Sessions calling the shots with Trump?
Let me take this one, Josh. And the three names you mentioned there, James, really disturbing. Sheriff Clark, who you so appropriately referred to as Sheriff Uncle Tom, Chris Christie, and Rudy Giuliani. It's interesting those three names were brought up, because those are three people who very early on pledged their allegiance and support to President Trump and were honestly kind of left out hang to dry, because they didn't get any major jobs. They didn't get great appointments or anything like that. They were kind of the early ones who supported Trump and then didn't really get much at the very end. But if these three names are truly, you know, being considered for FBI director, that's very scary, because we're going from someone who was clearly independent to somebody who we know has pledged allegiance to President Trump. And that seems to be the number one characteristic he is worried about. Josh, what do you think about that?
I agree 100%. It's horrifying thinking of the names that have been listed so far. To my knowledge, there are four candidates that are to be interviewed tomorrow, I believe, actually. One of them is the current acting Andrew McCabe, who, from the different sources I've been reading up on, Trump and Sessions are not wanting him for the simple fact that he is white hat. He is high moral character, which goes directly against what they need. another one. I think it's a Republican from Texas, John Cornyn. I can't remember his last name. There's also a judge from New York, and then there's another Justice Department official. I think actually she's a woman. Yeah, it would be the first woman to run the agency. So, woman with the Justice Department as well. I can't remember her name either. They're all being interviewed Saturday. I would love to see McCabe get it, just simply because he's a white hat, and that would be delicious to see Trump and Sessions squirm. And what are they going to do? Fire another one? Are they going to be that blatant? But to actually go back to answer what James was talking about earlier, I actually spent 6 years in New Jersey in the 90s and got to go back and forth to New York. And while I was never a victim of stop and frisk, I was very much aware of the practice of when it was promoted and, as part of the broken glass or broken window policy, where you try and look for small things and that leads you up the chain to something big. And, we've seen the reports. They so disproportionately targeted black and Hispanic youth that there's not even denying it. And to be honest, it promotes an atmosphere of an overseer. To be walking down the street, and an officer should have probable cause in order to stop or frisk you, but under that policy, it's like, hey, this is a high crime area. Let me, run you down. You fit the profile of this, this, and that. What's the profile? Young and black. Oh, well, fuck me then. To have any of these other individuals in power to want to promote something like that. We've already got Jeff Sessions recommending that prosecutors go after easily provable, like serious offenses, go for the mandatory minimums, et cetera, get them the maximum length. And guess what? We're seeing a swell in stock in private prisons.
We see
the immigrants are going there. That's the people that they're rounding up to go ship them off. They're having them there, and they're dying in these facilities because they're not held to the same standards. It's a shit show.
I had a good friend of ours, Josh, and I know him mutually. He had just recently, within the past 48 hours, gone to a maximum security prison here in South Carolina. At least, I don't know if we have the full maximum security like they have in Iowa and the Midwest. But we have one prison here in South Carolina, which is the only prison where they do the death sentence in state. And my friend, is kind of like a scared straight program, got a chance to visit the jail. And he told me firsthand that in South Carolina, when he went into the jail, he is a white man. He was the minority when he went in there. It was all Hispanic people. It was all African-American people. It was all people of color who were put behind bars, sometimes for, crimes as meager as having a gram of marijuana on you, and you're sitting in a holding cell with a murderer. And really, if we're looking at equity and we're looking at justice and fairness here in America, which are supposed to be principles and tenets we stand upon so firmly, how can you realistically say that a person who's smoking pot at home, even growing, is any more detrimental to society than a drunk driver, a person who had a DUI, a person who had voluntary manslaughter? I hate bringing sports references in, especially in political talks, but let's just take Josh Gordon, for example. Josh Gordon is a young player who is now not reinstated, even still after sitting out for 2-3 years, because he uses marijuana habitually. Meanwhile, we had a player like Dante Stallworth who literally killed somebody drunk driving and got a 5-year, $35 million deal like it was nothing. So when we talk about Jeff Sessions and the Attorney General and the Justice Department being very straightforward and harsh and strict, enforcing minimum mandatory penalties and sentences, going to, out of your way to lock up all quote-unquote criminals, well, not all criminals are the same, okay? What you consider a crime, some people in California consider legal. But in South Carolina, just because we're on the other side of the coast, you can go to jail and get your life ruined for something that you can do legally in California or Colorado or Maine or one of these other places. So there is a lot of issues as far as federal and state laws go. But one thing we're seeing is that the Trump administration is being very strict on marijuana, and I think that has partly to do with the fact that pharmaceutical companies are probably lining his pockets. We've seen the stock, which Josh so eloquently stated, we've seen stock in private prisons and in defense contractors rise astoundingly over the past 100 days. We've seen double and triple number of immigration, customs, and enforcement agencies, and we've seen the number of deportations rise drastically. And that's not just illegals who had committed a crime. That's illegals who had to call the police for help or had to go to the hospital for assistance and still got, you know, bound up and sent back to Mexico. And now a lot of these people who are being sent to Mexico aren't even from Mexico. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. They have Indian people who didn't have identification, who maybe who weren't here legally, and they're being shipped to Mexico, and they're Indian. So just an example of how backwards, how non-thought out, how disgraceful, honestly. I try to use a neutral tone in most of my speeches and most of my soliloquies. But in this instance, and in this day in particular, after hearing Sean Spicer back on the podium, after hearing Donald Trump interview on mainstream media, I mean, it's just starting to wear thin. Americans who pay attention, who are educated, who care about other Americans, who are empathetic, do not support the administration right now. That's why the three of us get on here every week to talk about this stuff, and that's why everyone needs to join us week in and week out to do this, regardless of if I'm here or not. Because us speaking out, us talking, and us exchanging ideas is how we inspire other people. And hopefully we inspire some of y'all to go out and make a change in your local communities. And with that being said, we're winding down. I appreciate everyone for their input today. I appreciate everyone coming in to speak to us. We will continue the show week in and week out every Friday, 10 o'clock Eastern time. And regardless of if I'm on here or not, if Sean's here, if Josh is here, James on there, I need everyone to just participate, be a part of the process, and try your best to make your community and the things around you as good as possible. That's all we can do. And if everyone does that, if everybody just makes their immediate area around them better, then America will be better. And that's all we can hope for. And with those being my final words, I'll give it to James. James, any final words tonight?
My final words before I even get to my final words, Vic, like you said, the program's going to go on. I'm going to try to do you proud while you're studying for your bar. Thank you so much for being loyal, not only to this show, but to some of my shows past. I thank you so much, my man, for being politically conscious enough to have me start this, I will keep a light on for you, and we appreciate all you do. That being said, it's very troubling when you see the vast disconnect between the classes. And you can see it, not only just in the newspapers, but you can see it, in our everyday lives. When you go down and, you look at some of the job boards, if you go down to past a Home Depot, you see people that are out of work. Some of them are immigrants. Some of them may be here illegally, but the only thing that they're trying to do is feed their families, just like the rest of us. And, you know, San Diego is a sanctuary city. And, you know, we need to have cities like this so people can come across and not only try to do better by their families, but also to make the world a better place. And it's just very antagonizing for me right now, not to jump on a soapbox and give one of the Vicks a little please for the next 20 minutes. But hey, let's try to do better. I'm not Rodney King, so I'm not about, you know, all getting along, but you know, let's at least all try to strive towards common goal. So that's my thoughts for you this evening, gentlemen.
James King, thank you so much. You do such a good job with the Sports Crib Network, and we thank you so much for letting us speak here every week. And everyone, check out the programming that James offers. Always amazing, always the best analysis, and I really appreciate you keeping this show alive even while I'm taking my little hiatus to study for the bar, because it's important we have these dialogues, and I think people are really genuinely interested to see where normal Americans stand on these instances and not, you know, where CNN correspondents are or MSNBC or Fox News. We know where they stand or what they think, but what about the organic American people? So that's why we have this show, and we thank you, James, and thank you so much personally. I mean, I have so much love for you, and I've never even met you face-to-face, so I look forward to that day. Thank you once again, James. And Josh, any final thoughts on the night?
Whew. Stay hopeful. But stay angry. You know, Betsy DeVos was booed by Bethune-Cook University during the graduation ceremony. And, some of the fallback you hear a lot of, you know, be better than this, et cetera, et cetera. And it was stuff that you heard during the campaigns. You know, they go low, we go high. It's not about going low or high. There are people in this world that really believe that there was a culture war and that they lost, and they're trying to take things back. So just trying to ignore the problem or trying to so rise above, so to say, it doesn't work in war. You know, sometimes you got to fight dirty. If you can't do it, you need to have people that can do it for your side. But yeah, just stay smart. But stay angry. Don't do anything stupid, but stay informed. Don't just roll over and, you know, take this, you know, oh, well, we need to be better. We need to work together. Where was all that, during the 8 years of Obama's administration? Where was that when he was regularly blocked by Congress? So don't take this phony moral high ground that people want you to take. You take the moral high ground that you take. And I think that's really all I can say. James, thank you so much for keeping this going on while Vic studied. Vic, man, I hope you nothing but success. I'm so excited for you and Sarah. Just nothing but peace and love, really, to everybody. As much as I say, get ready to fight. In the end, it's because we all want harmony.
And I really can't add anything to that, Josh. That was so eloquently and beautifully put. Thank you all for tuning in and week out. Thank you to my panelists, James King and Josh McCorder. And Sean, I know you're out there somewhere. You know we got mad love for you. Can't wait to have you back on the show. Everyone listening, be sure to check out the new Facebook page for the Sports Crib. We have great content out there. Check out the other programming we have. Like Josh said, stay angry. But remember that we're all for peace and harmony. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Keep striving for it. Keep striving for it. We'll never be smart enough. We'll never be happy enough. We'll never be perfect enough, and that's what we're going for. Thank you all for tuning in. Maybe I'll be there with you guys next week, but be sure to tune in because there will be great things to talk about. And you know, with the current administration, there's always going to be new news. So stay positive, stay awake, and I will see you all next week. Thank you very much.